Christ, God's house. We've all heard the expression, oft quoted, carpe diem, seize the day. We feel good about ourselves when we get that project accomplished. We get those tasks and errands done that we've been putting off. There's sometimes drudgery to do them, but once completed, like our taxes or other things that are always pressing on us, we feel so much better for having gotten them behind us. If you think about it, though, this phrase often translates into accomplishments that don't really reach beyond the mundane, the temporal things of our lives. But when it comes to the urgency of our spiritual lives, our communion with God, we often think that we've got all the time in the world, that there's no rush, there's no need for urgency, there's no need to seize the day. I'll always have an opportunity later. The reality is, however, and we're reminded of it today, that our days are numbered. Our earthly lives will all come to an end, some sooner, some later. Christ God is coming back to judge the living and the dead. Each of us will prostrate ourselves before Him, before His dread judgment seat, and give an account for how we've listened to and heeded the gospel of Christ. In a single moment, all our choices, all our sins will be brought to the fore. They will be brought before us and brought before Christ. And so we each are given an opportunity today to ask ourselves, how ready am I now to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? The sobering truth is that as we know God in this life, this is what we believe and what has been taught and brought down to us from the very beginning, that as we know God in this life, at the time of our departure from it, so we'll experience Him in the next life. We'll be judged based on this personal knowledge and experience of Him, or sadly, the lack thereof. We know ourselves to be changeable, but God is not changeable. Often fickle, God is steadfast. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our culture and its values change constantly, but the truth of God remains the same, generation after generation, which is exactly what it means for us to be Orthodox. We don't change our faith around the culture, but rather we are in the inheritors of that faith once received by the saints that has united them with God and that does the same for us, that is revealed to us by God, not something that we've made up as we've gone along. Today's epistle says, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." Lent challenges us, like no other time of the year, to do an inventory of our priorities, to evaluate where things are at between us and God, to seize the day and make use of it for our growth, for our healing, for our salvation, so that when we die, or when Christ comes again, will not be found unprepared. And so we ask, where are things at between me and God? Are you ready to be changed this Lent? Are you striving for life with God more than anything else? Is your life with Him who is life eternal your priority? Eternal life. Sometimes we have very complex understandings of what this is, But what it really means is communion with the Creator of all life, the one who was and is to come. Hell is a very real existence. It is rejection on our part of the life that God is. Our epistle goes on to warn us. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. When the soul of an Orthodox Christian has departed, we sing Memory Eternal. It's this desire that we be remembered by God in His kingdom, before God and among the saints, that we not drift away from God's presence, that we live now with eternity before our eyes. God created us in His great love for us, for each one of us, that we, each of us, should be with Him for all eternity. But love and relationship, communion, can never be forced on anyone. Otherwise, it's no longer love or communion, just by definition. But God, the Holy Trinity, is Himself a relationship and union of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God desires not a master-slave relationship with us, but a relationship of father to son, father to daughter. This is the God we worship and commune with. This is the God that we call on for help, for love, for healing, for salvation. This is the God who feeds us with the medicine of immortality in the Eucharist. This is the God who was and is to come. Salvation, then, is getting ourselves further up and further in the life that is only in Him, the life that He is as the Creator of all life. Salvation is cooperating with the work of the Holy Spirit to change us and make us into the deified men and women of God that He's created us to be in the first place. But are we open to the change in our lives that is necessary for us to find such healing from our passions and our rebelliousness against God's love? The ways that you and I miss the mark, the ways in which we reject God's love and an invitation to make us into the men and women of God that He's created us to be, this is the question that's posed to us today. Now, the paralytic and his friends in today's gospel, they desire change. They desire healing. They desire more than anything to get into the near presence of Christ God, the great physician, the one who speaks the truth because He is the truth. They desire this so much that they go so far as taking a section of the roof apart to get their friend, the paralytic, to Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus gives the paralytic the greatest of gifts. What does He give him? Does He give him his healing from his paralysis? Not immediately. No. He gives him forgiveness of sins, healing from his sin sickness. That's the priority, that which is eternal. Having been forgiven and cleansed of his sins, there's nothing standing between him and God, between him and eternal life. And so Christ does what He alone as God can do. He forgives his sins, and only after this miracle of forgiveness that Christ alone can give, He demonstrates to those who doubt and scoff that He is God, that He is life, that He alone has the power of giving life, that He heals the paralytic of his paralysis. Jesus prioritizes the soul over the body. We so often do the inverse. So we fast so that we can bring balance back between our souls and our bodies. And when we fast, we know that all is laid bare. All of our irritations, all of the comforts are stripped away, and everything that's raw is revealed. And why is that? So that we can repent of it. So that we can take it and we can bring it to Christ in confession. And we can get rid of it. We can give it over to God. We can learn where those raw places are so that we can take steps forward in healing, in growth in His divine life, further up and further in His kingdom. When all is laid bare in our fasting, we realize how utterly weak we are without God, how incapable we are of saving ourselves, and how much we just desperately need God, who is life itself. Where does your paralysis lie? What aspect of your life have you not yet relinquished fully to God? I like the way C.S. Lewis puts it. If we accept heaven, we shall not be able to retain even the smallest and most intimate souvenirs of hell. Isn't that so true? If we accept heaven, we shall not be able to retain even the smallest and most intimate souvenirs of hell. Those things that we still cling on to, but that we know that we need to give over to God to prepare to meet Him. Lent gives us the opportunity to relinquish our hold on those souvenirs, those passions, those habits, those that coldness of heart, that indifference to the things of God and to His holiness. Whatever keeps us from experiencing and submitting ourselves to the love of God and the life that is only in Him. If Christ began His earthly ministry fasting and overthrowing the devil during His 40 days in the wilderness, how much more important is it for you and me to worship, to pray, and fast during these 40 days if we want to make progress in attaining to God's kingdom. And so, in the case of the paralytic in today's gospel, his affliction, his paralysis, brought him to Jesus, the one who created him, the only one who could save him. He presented himself fully to the master of all, and he was changed in a single moment. He was made whole. A new life began for him, in body and in soul. Both his spiritual paralysis and his physical paralysis found healing from the Lord. Is there anything holding you back? And I ask myself this as well. Is there anything holding you back from the fullness of the life in Christ offered through His church, which He desires to give each one of us? Is there any spiritual sickness or disease of the soul that you need to bring before your Creator, who loves you most desperately, and ask Him that He heal you through confession, through repentance? If the Spirit is willing, God will take care of the rest. He will use this holy season to lead us further up and further in His kingdom. St. Gregory Palamas, whose Sunday we celebrate, the second Sunday of Lent, reminds us of this truth, saying, since the kingdom of God is at hand and within us and will soon arrive, let us make ourselves worthy of it by works of repentance. I encourage you to seize the day, to open yourself up more to God and His healing this Lent through your repentance. By bringing these things before Christ our God and asking Him to heal us of them, to expose those wounded and sin-sick places of our hearts, whatever hardness of heart, to the love and light that Christ God is. He who alone can heal all of our infirmities. In so doing, you and I will find healing for our souls, life for our bodies, and be prepared not only to meet Christ at Holy Pascha, but also at His second and glorious coming. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.